Thank you so much. I want to first of all say to everyone, our listening audience, thank you so much for tuning in to listen to We Cannot Be Silent. We Shall Not Be Silent. We Will Not Be Silent radio show today, June the 8th.
You didn't say we may not be silent. You said we will not be silent.
We will not be silent, absolutely. And, you know, the theme of today's program is, I've entitled it, The USS Liberty, A Story of Treachery, Murder, and Ongoing Cover-Up. So I want to be very clear about that. But first of all, first and foremost, let me say that I want to give my gratitude and my thanks on behalf of myself and my partner and co-host, Phil Restino, to none other than UnitedWeStrike.com for all of their diligent efforts, their constant work, their constant vigilance. Folks, go to www.UnitedWeStrike.com. for more details. And by the way, on July 4th, there's an international four-day boycott strike. So that means don't buy, don't comply. Ask why, but don't buy and don't comply. So let me move quickly on to our theme with respect to the USS Liberty, a story of treachery, murder, an ongoing cover-up. I want to say right here and now that my co-host, Phil Restino, he's a longtime peace and justice activist, longtime, is busy doing what Phil does. He and the Brastino team are out there in Central Florida, taking care of business. They are at the Steve's Famous Diner. That's right, the Steve's Famous Diner in Daytona Beach, Florida. And they are showing the film, The Loss of Liberty, which is about the USS Liberty in Daytona Beach, Florida. And Phil Restino, my partner, my co-host with We Cannot Be Silent, is the co-chair of the Central Florida Veterans for Peace Chapter. That's VFP, Veterans for Peace Chapter. Again, my gratitude, my esteem for all of our listening audience. Get ready for a serious get-down program because we're not sucking and jiving today. We are talking about the USS Liberty, a story of treachery, murder, an ongoing cover-up. And we have a very, very special guest on the program today, with us today, joining us today. I want to say this very straightforwardly. I am very humble and extremely honored to have one of the survivors of the horrific attack of the on the USS Liberty. Today, June 8th, 2013, is the 46th anniversary of the June 6th, 1967 horrific attack on the USS Liberty. I want to welcome right here and right now none other than Mr. Ron Kukol. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Ron. Correct me if I'm wrong. Ron is one of the survivors of that horrific attack. He was there, folks, firsthand. His last name is spelled K-U-K-A-L. Brother Ron, are you with us?
I'm here, and thank you for that introduction. It almost made me tremble just listening to it. Thank you very much, Larry. I think we've talked once before, a couple of years back, maybe 3 years, something like that.
Yes, yes, and I'm very serious about this when I say that I'm humbled and extremely honored to have you as a guest on the We Cannot Be Silent, We Shall Not Be Silent, We Will Not Be Silent radio show today. Ron, a lot of people, too many people, are unaware of the horrific events, these events of June 6, 1967, and the ongoing cover-up, the events that relate directly to the horrific, terrible, outrageous attack on the U.S. Navy vessel, the USS Liberty. My brother, you were there. You were there firsthand. And you know what? I'm going to shut up and just ask you to please explain to our listening audience why it is so important to, well, first of all, you start wherever the heck you want to start. And make sure, please, Ron, that you tell our audience who and what the circumstances were surrounding the events of June 6, 1967, and why it's important, because it's extremely important today on June 6, 2013. I'm going to turn it right over to you, Ron.
Thanks, Larry. That would be June 8th, but not here to hear another
day.
I never know what type of an audience I'm talking to, and I know that we got 30 minutes here. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. That makes it a little tough because I've got 46 years of information, but there is one extremely important thing here that I don't think has ever been gotten across to anybody, and I think this will be a very first time, that this has ever been brought out. June 8th, 1967, the Israeli Defense Force deliberately attacked the USS Liberty. A lot of people want to know why, and I wish I could give them the exact reason why. I can only give them a couple of things that I had thought of, other people have thought of as to why we were attacked. So, there'll be no call-ins here. So, I guess what I'd like to say is that the USS Liberty was 15 miles off the coast of Gaza. We weren't doing anything out of the way other than what we were assigned to do. And as I said, we were in international waters. But there's a thing I'd like to bring out today that I hope I can get it in within the next few minutes. And that is extremely important. I'm going to have to jump over a lot of things to get to the point that I want to get to. But I would like to make mention of just a few of the people that have read about this attack, who knew about this attack, and who were VIPs of that era. Now, some of these people have gone, of course, but they left statements. And the attack was referred to by U.S. Secretary of State Dean Rusk in this manner. I was never satisfied with the Israeli explanation. Through diplomatic channels, we refuse to accept their explanations. I didn't believe them then, and I don't believe them to this day. The attack was outrageous. CIA Director Richard Helms. The Board of Inquiry concluded that the Israelis knew exactly what they were doing in attacking the Liberty. CIA Director Richard Helms in an interview with Navy Times. It was no accident. Now, I've got about 50 names here of very important people of that time, and I'm just going to skim over just a few of them, just to let you know that this is just not me saying this. I mean, as an eyewitness, I didn't see it all, of course. I was down below when the attack started, but...
Below deck, right?
Pardon me?
Below deck. When you say you were down below, you were below deck in the ship.
Yeah. Two decks down below the main deck, about 30 foot from where the torpedo exploded. But to get back to this, some of the people that have talked about this, former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Thomas H. Moore, I have never believed that the attack on USS Liberty was a case of mistaken identity. That is ridiculous. Israel knew perfectly well that the ship was American. When I get to this point, and I'll bring it up again, Larry, that I don't think it's been brought out too many times, but or if it's ever been brought out. But I could go to the attack and identify what happened to me from the time I woke up that morning until the attack started and after the attack. But I don't think there's going to be enough time here. So let's just, we hope it will suffice to say that this attack was deliberate. We have enough people and enough statements by some very important people of that time that I don't know how anybody could believe otherwise. There's been some controversy on this attack for many, many years. A lot of people have brought out the friendly fire thing comments. They love that one. You know, these things happen during wartime, friendly fire. I hope you keep that those two words in your mind through this program, because when we're all done with the friendly fire stuff, I'm going to blow that one right out of the water. Mm-hmm. And getting back to just a few other people, the attack was clearly deliberate. General Marshall Carter, former director of the National Security Agency. That the Liberty could have been mistaken for the Egyptian supply ship El Kazir is unbelievable, said by the special assistant to the president, Clark Clifford, in his report to President Lyndon Johnson. I could go on and on and on, and there is about 55 people of pretty high caliber that have agreed with all of us men that served aboard the Liberty. And today, I would really like to bring out another ship that hasn't been talked about very much, and that's USS Davis. Had it not been for the USS Davis and a crew of 20, which I think there were 16 enlisted men and 4 officers that came to our rescue on the morning of June 9th, and I got to tell you, I was standing back on the fantail with another first-class petty officer by the name of Lowell T. Bingham, and as we seen that ship come over the horizon, the sun was coming up, it was like the angel of mercy coming over that horizon. And I can't tell you how close we were. It was never a matter of thinking, was the ship going to go down? That was never a thought. The thought was at the time was not if. The thought was when. We knew it was going to go down. The mighty men of the supermen, I would call them, of the USS Davis, came alongside, 16 enlisted men and 4 officers, as I understand it, and went down below the enlisted men and shored up those swollen bulkheads that were about ready to give. They had been stretched to the limit, and these guys went down there and did their job. So if you want to remember the Liberty, I hope you do. I think we've said this for 46 years. And please bring the USS Davis into mind with that, because the Liberty would not have stayed afloat had it not been for the men of the USS Davis. Just 2 weeks ago, yeah, May 28th, on the evening of May 28th, in Jackson, Tennessee, one of the men who came aboard the Liberty, excuse me just a minute. One of the men who came aboard the Liberty, who went down below, took his life in his own hands. They went down there. They had to seal themselves in case, you know, one of the bulkheads gave. So they were sealed in down there doing their work. And what a fantastic job they had to have done, because we had to sail that ship 1,000 miles to Malta to get into dry dock. That man's name is Larry Broyles. He was a...
Say that again. What is that man's name?
The man's name was Larry Broyles, B-R-O-Y-L-E-S.
Thank you.
The 28th of May of this year, Larry Broyles, after 46 years, was awarded the Combat Action Ribbon and the Presidential Unit Citation that he has deserved for 46 years and has never had that come about for him. He got these medals because we researched this enough, and we did find out that June 8th and June 9th both were considered days that the combat action ribbon could be awarded. Now, here's the barn burner of it all. We have heard stories over the last 40-some years which have literally said that, why are you guys griping? Why are you complaining? What is your problem? Why, don't you understand this was a mistake, this was an accident, this was a result of friendly fire? And I say to you right now today, you do not receive the combat action ribbon for friendly fire. You receive the combat action ribbon for hostile fire, for an act of war.
That's right. That's right. Let me interject. Let me interject very quickly, Ron. You know, the fact of the matter is that June 8th, and I apologize for saying 6th, I know full well, June 8th, all right, 1967, was a day of infamy. Let me repeat. It was a day of infamy, and it continues in terms of the cover-up of the many people who died, who were murdered, and let's be honest, this was murder. This was no accident. This was murder. The 19 and 20-year-olds who were on that ship as seamen, doing what they considered to be their duty for peace and for their country, died as a result of being murdered. And I say this having looked at a number of documentaries, including the documentary that Phil Rossino is showing today on June 8, 2013, entitled The Loss of Liberty, and the documentary, the BBC documentary, called Dead in the Water. You know, if you don't mind, Ron, please tell the audience where you were and what you did on that ship, because you have close familiarity with your shipmates and their bodies. Please tell our audience.
I was about 30 foot from a torpedo when it exploded. I worked in the secure places, the compartments. I was a communications technician. I won't go into very deeply what I did. There's no doubt in anybody's mind what kind of ship the USS Liberty was. 30 foot from the torpedo. There was one bulkhead in between me and that torpedo, but it blasted open plenty of bulkheads without any problem whatsoever. When the torpedo hit, I was flat on the deck. I was pushed flat on the deck by an unknown person. Men died all around me because they didn't get down. Somehow, some way, 5 seconds before that torpedo hit, or maybe 10, someone almost yelled in my ear, "Get down and get down now." I should have been the man that should have done that because I was a senior man in that compartment. So I don't know how this came about, but I do know that I was flat on the deck when the torpedo hit, and I do know that all the men standing around me died almost instantly.
And who did that torpedo come from? Where did that torpedo come from that you're talking about?
From the torpedo boats that the Israeli Defense Force had brought out there.
Okay. I want to be clear about that. As Ron fired, just pointed out.
Yeah.
They
fired 5 torpedoes at us, hit us with one. Nobody at this point probably even knows that what that torpedo that hit us on the starboard side actually didn't go all the way through the ship. It hit an I-beam and exploded prematurely. And I'm sure that if it went all the way into the center part of the ship or maybe to the other side and exploded, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you today. The compartment filled with water. We were ready for action, so all the compartments, the watertight doors were sealed down. And I get a little bit excited to this point here, right, because I'm living it all over again. The scuttle to the hatch was opened when we needed it most because it was filling up with water fast, and there was still a lot of us still alive down there after that explosion. And the scuttle opened, and it was still turning up on top there that had opened that up for us so we could get out of that, out of the water-filled compartment alive. There was 25 men who died instantly. That torpedo came right across a couple of people, their desk, when it exploded. They had to have known, couldn't have known what hit them. They were splattered into the steam pipes. Bodies were wedged into the steam pipes. There were men just laying in pieces everywhere. It was my job.
Yes, that's what I want to hear. Tell the audience what your job was.
My job was as the petty officer in charge. I was assigned by one of the officers, and I don't even remember who it was anymore, to be in charge of the body recovery and identification. And I worked under an officer by the name of Lieutenant Lee. I believe he was brought aboard. He wasn't aboard when the attack occurred, but he was brought aboard to help out, and I worked for him. But I was the enlisted man in charge. It was my job to take the torsos, the arms, the legs, heads, whatever we could find, and put them together and try to make a body out of them, like a jigsaw puzzle. I won't go into it deeply. First of all, I think I probably could, but if some of the families of these men are still listening, I don't think they'd want to hear it. I went to several reunions where they asked me, just wanted to talk to me because I was the last one to touch their loved one. And
right.
I'm sure they wouldn't
right.
want to hear about it. Just literally saying these bodies were like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. And luckily, the one thing the United States Navy did I thought was really fantastic is that, you know, we had to have our names on our shirts and trousers and stuff like that, you know, so we could, you know. Anyway, that's how I did a lot of it. But I do remember one of my shipmates coming up to me, Mr. Ernie Gallo, in the midst of all this, and he said, how can you do this? And I said, I don't know how. I suppose you could call it shock. I don't know what else you could call it. But these bodies were actually, we couldn't find everybody. We couldn't put everybody back together. So there were six that we never did find, and those pieces that were left over were thrown into a big body bag, and we called it them, the six people. They're buried in Arlington.
Ron, how many people in total were killed on the USS Liberty?
34.
34 people were murdered, were killed, died in that attack, on that deliberate attack on the USS Liberty. Let me say this because our time is running very short. Let me make it crystal clear that we honor, we respect, and we love the sacrifice. We wish that there had been no sacrifice, but the fact that it was made by so many on that fateful day of June 1967, we shall never forget, and we will not be silent about it. It is time for the American people, in fact, the people of the world, to know what is happening and what has happened. This cover-up must stop. It must stop now. And we want to say, representing myself and Phil Rossino and those with United We Strike, that we love and appreciate you, Ron, and all the brothers who were on that ship who were doing what they had to do, what they had to do, okay, as human beings. So I'm so, we've got to have you back again. Our time is almost up. But
on that note,
we've got to have you back again.
Larry,
how much time do we
Larry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to butt in there.
Just one more statement.
Ron, hang on. Would you feel the discussion you're having is riveting and it's timely and it's important.
Right.
The hosts for the next segment would be very pleased if you fellows would agree to join them and share some of their half hour to perhaps discuss this a little further. Would you be willing, please, to stay on for just a little bit longer?
Oh, my God, that would be, if it's okay with you, Ron.
Well, as I said, I get pretty excited because I relived the whole thing, and I was trying to shove it all in as fast as I could shove it in. But, yeah, I'd be more than glad to, and I happen to be, I'm just noticing on my phone that I'm getting about three or four different calls now, and one of them happens to be from Mr. Larry Broyles, I'm pretty sure, and I'm sure he's probably listening in. I wanted to make one thing abundantly clear. It's never been brought up. I don't think the USS Davis has been just left in by the wayside, and these men that served on there were just as heroic as anybody I've ever known. And the very fact of the matter is all these stories that have been written about friendly fire, they're wrong. You don't get your combat action ribbon from friendly fire. It comes from enemy action. I don't know how I can be any clearer than that.
You've made it very, very clear. And yes, so it's a resounding yes. We would love to be a part of the upcoming program, and I want to express my deep appreciation to the folks with the next program. Thank you so much. Tell us what we should do, and
we've got about a minute and a half here, so I do want you to have an opportunity to do a little bit of blatant self-promotion during your segment of today's program. But right at the bottom of the hour, I will run a short break. We'll take about a 40-second break that'll bridge the half-hour point, and then I'll add the next segment's hosts in. But please, you've got about 45 seconds, a little bit of blatant self-promotion, gentlemen.
Well, a little bit of blatant self-promotion. All I can say again is thank you to our audience. Thank you to UnitedWeStrike.com. My name is Larry Pinkney. My co-host is Phil Restino. Our esteemed and honored to have guests is Ron Kukul of the USS Liberty. I'm going to leave it at that and simply say that liberty or death, we choose liberty, not death, but liberty. We thank the brave men, the patriots of the USS Liberty. I'm going to leave it at that for right now and just shut up and go into the next segment, if that's okay.
All right, I'm going to take us out with a little bit of music, and we'll rejoin you in just a couple moments. Thank you very much.